So yes, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are reading from the Madhya Lila, 10th chapter, 140 onwards. I hope everyone likes these wonderful screens. They could be a bit bigger, couldn't they? But then they'll be too prominent. But the verse is here, 140 onwards. I think 143 has a relatively short purport. I'll just read a little bit, 140, and then we'll recite 143 together. That's 140 in the translation. In conclusion, dealings in affection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead bring happiness many millions of times greater than the dealings with him in awe and veneration. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotee is merged in transcendental bliss. 141 in the translation. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda. Wow. And Govinda in turn offered his respectful obeisances onto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. My God. 142 translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then continued speaking to Sarvabhum Bhattacharya. Consider this point. The servant of the spiritual master is always respectable for me. And so now Prabhu's 143 translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. As such, it is not befitting that the Guru's servant should engage in my personal service. Yet my spiritual master has given this order. What shall I do? The purport. A guru's servants or disciples are all God brothers to one another, and as such they should all respect one another as Prabhu or master. No one should disrespect his God brother. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, what to do about Govinda? Govinda was the personal servant of Ishwarapuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, and now Ishwarapuri had ordered Govinda to become Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant. So what was to be done? This was the inquiry Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed before Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, an experienced friend. Om Jnanatimidam Dasya. Jnananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasnarya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschasate Satarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Trubhasya, Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha. Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Dear Prabhus, I seek the blessings and mercy of all the assembled and the unassembled Vaishnavas. There are hopefully many unassembled online, giving me their blessings, so that I can say something relevant. The Madhya Lila is indeed so exceptionally relishing, isn't it? It's so beautifully compiled and so wonderful. I prefer the Madhya as opposed to more so than the not the Antya, but the Adi. Adi is kind of, you know, all about the Lord's childhood and all of that. But Prabhu's, this chapter, the 10th chapter, is entitled The Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. Wow. And in summary, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, who has been to South India? Jai, many hands going up. You managed. That took you. So whilst the Lord is traveling in South India, Sarvabhum Bhattacharya had many talks with King Patraparudra. And if we go through that pastime, it is incredible. But anyway, we won't go there. When Maharaj Patraparudra requested the Bhattacharya to arrange an interview with the Lord, because the Lord is just so adamant, the Bhattacharya assured him that he would try to do so as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from South India. When the Lord returned to Jagannath Puri from his South Indian tour, he lived at the home of Kashi Mishra. Sarvabhum Bhattacharya introduced many Vaishnavas to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his return. The father of Ramananda Rai, Bhavananda Rai, who's Maharaj Pandu, offered another son named Vaninath Patanakya for the Lord's service. Yet another son. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed his associates about the pollution of Krishnadas brought about by his association with the Bhattaharis. That was a nice one, pastime. And thus the Lord proposed to give him leave. Ooh. Nityananda Prabhu attempts to save him, naturally. Nityananda Prabhu sent Krishnadas to Bengal to inform the Navadvip devotees that the Lord had returned to Puri. All the devotees of Navadvip thus began arranging to come to Jagannath Puri. At this time, Paramananda Puri was at Navadvip. And immediately upon hearing news of the Lord's return, he started for Jagannath Puri, accompanied by a brahmana named Kamalakanta. Pushottam Bhattacharya, a resident of Navadvip, was educated at Varanasi. He accepted the renounced order from Chaitanya Ananda. But he took the name of Swarupa. Thus, he arrived at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after the demise of Sri Ishwarpuri. His disciple Govinda, following his instructions, went to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu due to his relationship with Keshava Bharati. Brahmananda Bharati was also respectfully received by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he arrived at Jagannath Puri, he was advised to give up the deerskin clothing he wore. When Brahmananda understood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu correctly, he accepted him as Krishna himself. However, when Sarvabhum Bhattacharya addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the Lord immediately protested, which he likes doing. In the meantime, Kashishwar Goswami also came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this chapter, devotees from many different areas come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they are exactly like many rivers that come from many places to finally flow into the sea. So that's the summary of the chapter given to us, none other than the great Thakur Bhaktivinoda. In these verses, dear Prabhus, from 140 to 143, and tomorrow we're very blessed because Sri Radharaman Prabhu is going to give class. And I'm very much looking forward to that. 2 weeks back, we had Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, and of course, His Great Holiness Keshav Swami Maharaj. So I was listening to those two lectures last night in bed, and it was quite relishing. But I look forward to that. So there's specifically 2 points given, Prabhu, really. Firstly, that the devotional service rendered purely to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani, is higher than the worship of their lordships in awe and reverence, awe and veneration. And secondly, towards the end of the purport of 143, it's mentioned in that purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, of being careful, we have to be careful in disrespecting the spiritual masters, God brothers and sisters. Wow. But in service, that's a tough thing to do. Sometimes, you know, I'm always shouting about and having fun with the devotees and, oh, this is not right, this is not, you know, not wrong here and all that business. But it's a tough one. Now, throughout the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhus, there are many references depicting dealings with the Lord in affection. And is much more, in the dealings with the Lord in affection is much more superior than dealings with Him in awe and reverence. Hence, 'tis the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Because it's explaining all these rasas. And specifically in the 32nd chapter of the NOD, it's mentioned that as far as friendship is concerned, those high-grade devotees, certainly not me, who are almost like Krishna, are considered to be great authorities in the modes of friendly relations with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being a friend to the Lord, I mean, I can't imagine doing that. Then there's parenthood. Parenthood, I mean, my Lord, you know, being a parent to the Lord, I can't imagine it. Or being the Lord's parent. In the Pushti Marg, you know, tradition, you have to be the parent of, you know, Bal Gopal. And I tell you, being a parent of Bal Gopal ain't easy. I remember visiting on numerous occasions the mother of Krishna Purna Mataji. Her name was Puspa Masi, Puspa Ben, a devout devotee of Bal Gopal. And of course, I would go there for really the prasadam, the malpuras, and all these sweets she would offer to, you know, Bal Gopal. And the malpuras, oh my God, these are the Gujarati ones, incidentally. Bengali ISKCON ones are also fantastic, because especially if they're strawberry flavor. I can't remember the last time I had that here at our temple. ISKCON malpura. Anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but she's worshipping, you know, Bal Gopal, and it's really quite amazing the worship she was doing. Of course, I'd like to tease her now and again, but it was truly incredible, truly incredible. So that's parenthood. You know, I can't fathom it. And then, of course, there's Madhurya Ras. Forget that, that's kind of out of the window. So in essence, Prabhu, it's detailed in the Nectar of Devotion. All these things are given, and the Nectar of Devotion is indeed our manual. And, even, you know, there's a lot of information on deity worship. It brings me back when I was, you know, doing my transfer service. Who's done transfer service over there? Wow, yes, all these hands going up. Mataji, that one is it's an incredible feeling. Touching the paraphernalia of the Lord, you know, these massive silver plates and all the beautiful things, and the feeling which you get, it's truly amazing, isn't it? Especially the first week. And then you kind of get familiar, and then over familiar, and then it's like, okay, I'm late, you've got to rush it, rush the service. But it's quite relishing. When I first went on the altar, I do vividly recollect, and His Holiness Ganadhar Prabhu, I call Him Holiness, His Holiness Ganadhar Prabhu took me on personally, and He had showing me and training me, you know, the Rajbhog Arti, and then He says to me, when you come on, there's no need to pay obeisances on the altar. You've kind of done that in the temple room. Don't keep doing that. And I'm thinking to myself, but we do that, you know, in front of the spiritual master when you're in and out of the rooms. This is where the awe and reverence kicks in. They're not particularly Lakshmi Narayan. You know, that's Krishna there. So anyway, these little instructions were given. And, of course, you know, going on the altar, you just kind of want to bow down. But, it's not needed. There's no need to touch the feet of the deities. You want to touch their feet. There's no need. You just get on with your service. And talking. Is there a need to talk? If you have to talk to the other devotees who are on the altar, whisper. I said, well, maybe we should all learn sign language. That's a good thing, isn't it? So the deed, you know, you're not in any way, you're not kind of, you know, getting too familiar. But then we are personal entities. We want to, you know, develop that relationship with the Lord. You know, certain mantras here in the assembly, you know, definitely are mothers to the Lord. So, certain etiquette has to be followed, and you have to follow what the head pujari tells you to do. Of course, there was one particular incident where I did not follow anything at all. It was a midweek. I remember very well. And a school group was about to come through those doors. Fortunately, there weren't that many people in the room, in the temple room. And Rajbhog Arti was going on. The pujari offered the giwig. And then he turned around, put it on the table over there, you know, that cabinet thing over there. And of course, he didn't notice that the chamra is right on top of it. And it caught fire. And Muggins here was in the corner there. Kripamoya Prabhu was there present. He immediately leaped onto the altar. And I'm thinking, boy, but what's going on? He rushed and, you know, he was trying to get the fire out. I remember Mother Krishna Vaishya was here. And she's looking at me, what are you doing? Do something. So, of course, I immediately took my socks off. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Gonitai Bhagwan ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I took my socks off immediately. Rushed straight onto the altar. I didn't have the guts to go straight onto the front here. I went over there and then onto it. And then I kind of helped Kripamoya Prabhu. And the fire was out. So, of course, no etiquette followed. You know, I was probably in some horrible clothing as well. My dhoti was probably full of mud, no doubt. But that went all out to the window because there was an emergency. So, of course, you know, you have to, I could have just, you know, ran out of the temple room, gone upstairs in the ashram, taken a shower, then come back down, and then gone on the altar, done all the rigmarole of the protocols. You know, I could have done all of that, but by that time, God knows what Agni there would have done. So, anyway, it was all these, you know, all these etiquettes are there. But then Prabhu's, you know, the worship of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Krishna, and Radharani. It's not, you know, you can't just directly worship them, isn't it? You have to go through Lord Chaitanya. And do you really think you can go directly through Lord Chaitanya? No. You have to approach Lord Nityananda. And then there's the parampara. So this is the etiquette which has been given. And I remember one point, one of my rather senior god brothers is Bengali. That says it all. He says to me, direct worship of Radha Krishna is a must. But I said, what the heck are you on about? You've got to worship Lord Chaitanya. It's where in Kali Yuga, and he's appeared in this particular Kali Yuga. Anyway, we had a real good old barmy. It was a massive argument. At the end of it, I said to myself, I can't reason with him. Because he was so fixed. And his name was Radha Madhava. Initiated in, you know, Mayapur Dham. And he was staying with me. And I thought to myself, I've got to get rid of this tenant. So, you know, that was an experience. I just couldn't understand how, you know, he couldn't quite accept the worship of Gauranga Mahaprabhu comes first. The worship of Lord Nityananda is first for us. We can't approach the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like that, you know. And that kind of also reminds me of when, this is now in the 18th chapter of the Madhya Leela. Some of you may have come across the beautiful, beautiful pastime of Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Now, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, you know, after the incident with Krishnadas, who was then sent to, you know, Navadvip, the Lord was quite adamant, I don't want any servants. You know, it's a bit like our sannyasis in ISKCON, you know, some of them. We don't want, there's no need for a servant. We were teasing Keshav Maharaj the other week. So how many servants have you got now? I'm a young sannyasi, I don't need any servants. There's no need. So Mahaprabhu was in that mood. Look, it's more of a burden, isn't it? We were trying to convince, you know, Prayojan Swami over there. He needs a servant. It's more of a burden. I have to tell them what to do, and half the time they can't get it right. You know, so get rid of them. There's no need. But eventually Mahaprabhu was given, you know, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And what a wonderful servant he was. And he went through the jungle and he did beautiful service to the Lord. When they got to Vrindavan, who's not been to Vrindavan? Wow! Okay, a few hands going up. Okay, all right, you got to go to Vrindavan. Tell Dad. Where is he? Yes, at the back. When the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balabhadra Bhattacharya got to Vrindavan, and they stayed there, at one point, the Brajbasis were seeing that Krishna is appearing, especially at night, where Kaliya was, and he's jumping on Kaliya's hoods, and everyone's seeing this. So obviously the word gets to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya, he's saying, what's going on here? And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he says to the Lord, can you give me permission? I want to see Krishna. I want to see him. Can I go and see him? And some of you may recollect, in the 18th chapter of the Madhya Leela, truly amazing, Mahaprabhu does something quite unique. He's upset. And you don't want to be there when Mahaprabhu's upset, my Lord. He just slaps the servant, boom, right on the cheek. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya realized that, hang on, he shouldn't have said, you know, he doesn't want to go and see Krishna. Why do you want to see Krishna? And this is one of the very, very rare occasions where Mahaprabhu says, are you not aware I am Krishna? You're with me 24/7? What is the need for you to go to the Kaliya Lake? And of course it turned out that Krishna wasn't particularly there, but there was a fisherman there at night in the boat, and he's doing all this business of whatever he does in catching the fish. And as he catches the fish from a distance, people think that the fisherman is Krishna, and he's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and it's the fish which are the hoods of Kaliya. Krishna wasn't really there. Well, he must have been there because he's always in Vrindavan, but he's not visible. Not visible. So that was quite interesting incident and pastime. Now, in terms of this most important statement of the purport, that simply by hearing, this is the translation of 140, I believe, simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotee is merged in transcendental bliss. Simply by hearing the transcendental holy name of the Lord. Now, hence, simply by chanting a specific mantra, simply by chanting a specific mantra, we see what happens to Gop Kumar in the Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Anyone come across it? No? No? Yes, must have. Thank you. You know, that particular scripture, in essence, it's the conclusion of the Bhagavatam in 2,516 verses by Sanatan Goswami. Sanat Goswami was sent together with Vallabha Bhatta to Gadadhar Pandit at Tota Gopinath, and they were instructed upon and taught by Gadadhar Pandit, the authority when it comes to the Bhagavatam. When they came back, of course, Mahaprabhu wasn't particularly happy with Vallabha Bhattacharya. He wasn't happy with his commentary, as it were, but he was very, very happy with what Sanat Goswami had learnt. And the Lord instructs him that you must now compile the Siddhant conclusion. Of course, this particular scripture, just a quick history on it. After the Bhagavatam was sung by Shukadev, Shukadev Goswami didn't want to hang around when Takshaka appears, naturally, who would want to, so he left. Just prior to Takshaka appearing, the serpent personality and did what he did. Back in Hastinapur, Mother Uttara was told that the Bhagavatam has been recited. And she's thinking, oh my Lord, let me leave immediately. And goes to where the son is, the Emperor Parikshit. And of course, she's kind of devastated. Now, generally, a mother, when realizing that her son's life is about to end, would naturally, you know, inquire, Beta, have you eaten? How are you feeling? You know, I know that soon you may be leaving. This is what a mother would do. But what she said, why the heck didn't you tell me that the Bhagavatam is being recited? I would have been here. I come to know of it too late, and now Shukdev Goswami has scarpered. He's left. So can you please give me the Siddhant, the conclusion? And of course, Maharaj Parikshit concludes. Now, can you imagine concluding 18,000 verses? But memory was sharp, not like jelly like mine. But he concluded. And then thereafter, after the Mahabharata and after all of that shebang and all the commotion, Jaimini Rishi visits Maharaj Jamnijaya, who's the son of Parikshit Maharaj. And the Rishi concludes and gives, you know, Maharaj Jamnijaya. Maharaj Jamnijaya is, in one sense, the last emperor before, you know, the Kali Yuga emperors kind of come in. He's like the last of the Mohicans, the final emperor. And Jaimini Rishi, he narrates the entire Mahabharata. He starts with the Mahabharata. And then, of course, he concludes and he mentions about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So this is like the history of it. And we're fortunate that, you know, we have it in three volumes. Do go through it. It's absolutely relishing. And that journey, it begins, you know, the scripture begins with Narad Muni, as always. You know, he's always there, isn't he? In anything and everything. And of course, you know, the journey of Gop Kumar. And why I'm kind of dwelling upon this is the fact that Gop Kumar is an amazing shaka of the Lord. He's a friend, isn't he? He's such an amazing friend of the Lord. And what he experiences is incredible. Because I know that now and again, we're all desirous, isn't it? I wonder how things are like in Kailash. I wonder how the demigods live. You know, I came across one particular description many moons ago, and it mentioned that the most beautiful person on this planet, in comparison to the beauty of the heavens, the celestial realms, that beautiful person on this planet is that of a frog in comparison. So I'm thinking, what kind of celestial entities, what kind of bodies exist in the heavens? And of course, you know, there's no particular, if you appear in Brahmaloka, there's no old age. There's no birth as well. You just get a garland. You get one of these garlands, and as the petals come off, that's how much time you have. That's how much time. I mean, you could live, it's mentioned, the figure is given, you could live up to 15 trillion years. Because in Brahmaloka, you know, Lord Brahma, in our little, puny little universe, it's a tiny place. It's only 4 billion miles in diameter. But Lord Brahma lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years. And you could live for a heck of a long time. Well, it's all relative, isn't it? But you're given a garland, and of course, you know, can you imagine what kind of bodies exist? Right now, I'm in my mid-50s. I mean, I do look younger, don't I? If I had shaved, I'd look younger. But, you know, I'm thinking I'm in a young body. You know, my lower back is aching. I've got this kind of cushion. But can you imagine what the bodies are like in the celestial realms? Incredible. So of course, you know, Gop Kumar experiences all these things. He goes to Kailash. I mean, what kind of an existence would be in Kailash? Shri Radharaman Prabhu, you know, can you imagine it? There are 10 billion maidservants serving Lord Shiva. That's more than the blinking population of this planet. 10 billion, it's mentioned. And can you imagine going there and taking darshan of the great Param Vaishnav and Ma Parvati? Eww, I would love it. Wouldn't you love it? Of course, how to do that? Gop Kumar did go there, and he came out, and he went to Vaikuntha. And if I go through his entire journey, we'll be here forever. But he goes into Ayodhya. When he enters Ayodhya, the first personalities who kind of come to him are the Varanas. And all immediately what the Varanas do, because the monkey's there, isn't it? Can you imagine? This is Vaikuntha. Ayodhya in Vaikuntha. There are monkeys there. And they immediately take his flute. Because he's a gopa. He has this nice little flute. And he's traveling with his flute. Maybe it's one of these, you know, wands, the wishing wands, which children like. But anyway, they take his flute, so he's kind of running after the monkeys to get this flute back. And then he comes across Maharaj Bharat. When he takes darshan of Maharaj Bharat, he immediately pays obeisances, full dandavat pranams, manages to get the flute back, and he's beginning his prayers, thinking that this is Lord Ramchandra. And Bharat Maharaj, he just covers his ears. He says, I'm not the Lord. I'm not Lord Ramchandra. I can take it to him. I'll take it to him. And of course, when Lord Ramchandra is encountered, the Lord says to Gop Kumar, look, mate, I know you've been traveling. Go and take some rest. You've had a long journey. So the Lord is really very much attempting to look after his visitor. Of course, he stays there eventually, cutting a long story short. Eventually, he has to leave because, you know, it's not him. It's not where he really belongs. Because he's a shaka, he's a lord, he's the friend of the Lord. Very rare, unique. So eventually he does go back home, back to Godhead, as it were, the term. He does, you know, go back to Vrindavan, Vraj. He does come back to earthly Vrindavan as well. And there's a whole journey, the boom of Vrindavan. But when he enters, because this is the last stage of his journey. Now, if any of you are fascinated in traveling, then do read this, because there's so much detail and it's unique. Anyway, he enters the last stage of his journey, and it's midday. And by midday, the Lord is coming back with his cows, with Balaram. So he notices Mother Yashoda coming out and onto the pathway, as it were. It could have been Dharammarg, up the Dharammarg. You know, she's coming out, and he notices some young damsels, they're gopis, and they're waiting. And at a distance, he notices the this is home. And Srimati Radharani has sent her incredible Manohar Ladus. These are some beautiful sweets. Pandava Arjuna might know how to make them. I don't know, because he's one of our extraordinary sweet makers, Mangalati sweet makers, you know, obviously empowered by Mother Kalungana. You know. She's the supreme when it comes to supreme sweets. She's like, you know. But anyway, these delicacies are there, and this, Prabhus, is the final part of the journey. And in essence, this is where, you know, coming back to the verse 140, to serve, well, to have a relationship with the Lord, in being a friend or a parent is indeed much, much higher. And so this is what's been mentioned here. What's quite unique for us, because if you didn't all know, but you are all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, just in case I slipped that in, you're all Gaudiya, just in case you didn't know. And that means you are devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Okay? Don't think for a second that you're devotees of Radha Gokulananda. But, you know, and hence, if you're devotees, if you're Gaudiya, you are devotees of Lord Nityananda. And as we know, the wonderful example of Raghunath Das Goswami and the Lord insinuating that, why are you going directly to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu? And hence we have the Panihati festival, the wonderful painting in the Bhakti Lounge. I still like it being called Prasadam Room. But anyway, the Bhakti Lounge, that Panihati. So, in essence, Prabhus, we have to worship Lord Nityananda. We are the International Society for Nityananda Consciousness. And hence, one of the most devout devotees of Lord Nityananda is a personality by the name of Kanu Ram Das Thakur. Kanu Ram Das Thakur sings Doyakoro More Nitai. It's a beautiful, beautiful bhajan. Simple, incredibly relishing. Doyakore More Nitai, Doyakoro More. Kosachimata could sing it much, much better. Agotira goti nitai, sadhu loke bole, sadhu loke bole. Oh my nitai, please shower your mercy on me. All sadhus say, you are so merciful. You give the right destination to the fallen souls. The right destination. So this is what's been given. Joya prema bhakti dota pakoto tomaro uttama uttam kichu na koilo bicharo. Lord Nityananda has a flag. He has a flag. That flag gives prema bhakti. Only that flag gives prema bhakti. He never discriminates whether one is uttama or adhama. Never discriminates. So Prabhus, I might have a chance there if he doesn't discriminate. Most elevated or most degraded, he doesn't discriminate. He gives prema bhakti to one and all. To one and all. Now this is powerful. No one else can do that. Of course, his representative, Srila Prabhupada, our Jagat Guru, and our ISKCON Parampara, they can do that because they're empowered as well. Prema done jagak jorane mana koilo shuki tumi hena doyoro thakuro omikone dukhi. Beautiful words. Sri Nityananda Prabhu gives prema to one and all and makes the whole world happy. Ananda. Ananda. You are such a merciful Thakur. Why am I so unhappy? So Kanu Krishna, Kanu Thakur here, Kanu Ram Das Thakur is feeling that he is not receiving the mercy of the Lord. And hence he concludes by saying and singing, Kanu Rama Dasho Bole Ki Bolila Ami E Bodo Bodasho More Korila Thakur Tumi. Now you can imagine, I'm not Bengali. Trying. Gujarati, similar to Bengali, but I can't even read and write Gujarati. So I'm uneducated totally and utterly. But here, the Ram Das Thakur Kanu is mentioning, what more shall I say? O Lord Nityananda, you are the Lord of our parampara. So this is a great hope for me, that you are such a merciful Lord. Doya kore more nitai. Doya kore more. It's a beautiful bhajan there. And of course, Just to conclude, at the end of the purport there of 143, time for me is ticking. Second subject matter, as it were, is accepting service from one's god brother or god sister. And this is an important point, and we have very little time to discuss it, of course. And Gobinda. Now, so Gobinda is Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's god brother, and yet he is in a position because of his spiritual master, their spiritual master, Ishwarpuri, has instructed Gobinda that you become the servant of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu is asking the Bhattacharya, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. Now, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, who has not heard of him? Everyone's heard of him. Wonderful. I'm so happy. That's great. When Mahaprabhu appears in Puri for the first time, and you know, he goes through that encounter and that wonderful pastime. At that time, the Bhattacharya is in his late 70s. In his late 70s, Mahaprabhu has just taken sannyas. And on one part of scriptures mentioned he's 79. So naturally, he is a fatherly figure. It's like in Navadvip, the fatherly figure is none other than Advaita Acharya. And hence, Sita Thakurani is like the mother. In Puri, it's Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. And Sati Mata. Sati Mata is the mother of Sati. And hence, she is called Sati Mata. And she's mom in Puri. So he's asking here to the Bhattacharya, he's saying that, you know, how can I accept him as my servant? He's my god brother. And of course, you know, the Bhattacharya has to always be very diplomatic, because the Lord wants to listen to him. But, you know, just like a son, sometimes you can't say anything directly to the son. You've got to like hold the ear like this and go round and round, and because otherwise, you know, Mahaprabhu got upset. He gets upset and he says, look, if you're going to tell me to meet Maharaj Putra Parudra, I'm going to leave. I'm not having it. I can't meet him. And you know, this goes on and on. Eventually he does meet him. And at one point the Lord says, well, you know, send his son to me. If his son can come and meet me. Because if I meet the son, it's like meeting the father. It's okay for me to meet the prince, but not the king, because I'm sannyasi. So, of course, Mahaprabhu is asking the Bhattacharya, and of course, the Bhattacharya is ifing and eyeing, and, you know, what can I say? You know, he's trying his very best not to kind of give an upsetting answer, an answer which would somehow, you know, not make him happy or the Lord understand. But it was none other than, we'll see in future chapters 18 onwards, we'll see that it's Govinda himself who says to the Lord that this is an instruction from our spiritual master. It's an instruction from the spiritual master. So how can I, you know, how can I not obey the instruction of the guru? And so here, Mahaprabhu is in a predicament, and he's thinking, of course, yes, it is an instruction from Ishwarapuri. How can we? So in that manner, if any of these sannyasis here in Puri criticize me, I can always say that, hang on a second, it's my spiritual master, so you go and have a chat with him. You know, so hence he accepts the service. And so that little, you know, the purport there, it's mentioned. But truly the relationship with Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya and the Lord, I mean, in Krishna Leela or somewhat in universal affairs, the Bhattacharya Sarvabhuma is Brihaspati. And in the Bhagavatam, when you go through the incidences with, you know, Brihaspati, I always tend to think that what an amazing position he has in Gauranga Leela as being, you know, Sarvabhuma, the head priest of Jagannath Puri. You know, anyone been to his house in Puri. You must have been to his house, yes, in that tunnel. And Pandava Arjun probably wanted to go down that tunnel and go and see where he comes up. I know what you wanted to do there, Pandava. You just admit it, you know, but obviously you couldn't do that. I kind of wanted to dive in there. But anyway, Prabhu, we could go on and on. In essence, two main points that obviously higher than the worship of the Lord in awe and reverence is that of being, you know, a friend to the Lord, a parent to the Lord, an intimate associate of the Lord. These are all rasas. So that's what's been mentioned here. And even if it may be wrong, like Mahaprabhu accepting the worship, the service from a menial servant as Govinda, it may be wrong, but however, the spiritual master has ordained it, hence we have to do it, isn't it? It's be a bit submissive, Nilamadava Das, and accept what the authorities are telling you to do. But I have my own mind. I remember one time having a conversation with Shivaram Maharaj and then subsequently having a conversation with Bhakti Charo Maharaj. And I was mentioning to my spiritual master, Bhakti Charo Maharaj, that Shivaram Maharaj has mentioned that a disciple has two independent decisions to make. The first is who to marry, and the second is who to accept as Diksha Guru. And Bhakti Charo Maharaj said, Shivaram Maharaj said that? But anyway, I am Nilamadava Das, Anu Das, and I have my independent Swatantra nature. And failing that, indeed, Swatantra means that title is only given to Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself. He is Swatantra, meaning independent. You, Mr. Das Nilamadava, are not. So get that into your head. Anyway, it's difficult, Prabhus. It is difficult, for I am so attached to my mind and what it tells me I must do. Forget the intelligence, for I have none. I shall now stop here, Prabhus. Grantharaj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Any comments, gladly accepted questions? Senior devotees are here. Incidentally, breakfast is getting somewhat cold. We did lose a bit of electricity. But anything at all, Prabhus? I can see that everyone's dying to come out of the temple room. And yes, smart, but yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can you hear me? Okay, so thank you very much for the class. In the situation where we are in this this world here, there is a...
Sorry, what was that?
So currently where, you know, where Mahaprabhu is asking this question, so we have similar questions sometimes. It is difficult to make a decision. It's a predicament here. There's an order directly. Sometimes we may not have the instruction directly. But both the situation looks equally right, the dharma conflict. So what should be the principle that we have to follow when we have to act? It's not a matter of following, but we have to take action. What should be the principle?
Do we not have siksha gurus? Do we not have that guidance of seniors? Ask them. I've been in predicaments where I don't want to accept the advice and the authority of that particular siksha. But the siksha is there. Bite the bullet and do what the siksha says. You're not independent. Of course, if it's really painful, then you can debate. I did debate one time with my spiritual master. Do I really have to? Nilamadava, this is an instruction. Should you obey it? Nice. It'd be good if you do. the decision is yours. He's being merciful. Yes, it's a predicament. It's unclear. It's grey. It's not black and white. But what's the Siksha saying? Ultimately, you know, ask a Siksha who's exceptionally somewhat senior in age and experience, and then please, you know, I know it's so difficult. Bite that bullet and do it. For if you don't, and you do exercise your independence, which you have a right to, you can do so, because you're living the situation. It's not the Siksha Guru who's living the situation, but you are. And if by chance it goes wrong, then at least you can say that, hang on a second, you know, it was the Siksha. It wasn't me. You know, so there's that solace is there, just in case if it goes wrong. If it goes right, I did the right thing. I accepted what the Siksha is telling me. But in all, you know, this is why we are, Prabhu's, exceptionally, exceptionally fortunate in that there are many, many devotees around us. There is much Siksha which we can receive. And so that is our good fortune. We are so very fortunate. What Srila Prabhupada has given us, what the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has given us, is incredible. And it's the true diamond which we have. Sometimes, you know, my mind is such that I want to somewhat disregard or throw the diamond away and grasp the broken glass. Grasp that. Because, you know, the mind is a rascal. I have the worst type of mind, believe you me. You don't know my mind at all. But sorry, coming back, I can go on, but coming back, you know, at least that Siksha is there. If that Siksha is not there, oh God, then we're going to sink. You know, it may not be there. You know, we may be all alone. I mean, I remember when being in lockdown, oh, Krishna Chaitanya, it was painful. There was some level of, you know, being locked up for such a long time. For me, my mind was on the resident devotees, and I was very much envying them. I envy the resident devotees, for they are all together in this beautiful temple room, in the ashrams, and I'm sure those resident devotees were having a whale of a time. So sometimes that Siksha may not be there. You may be all alone. But attempt to avoid that. Sorry, Prabhu. I hope that's as far as I can go with it. Thank you so very, very much, Prabhu's Granth Raj, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.